Bible, and he leaves just as fast as he walks in. He's just there for one day, one moment in time. And yet, he's mentioned more than most of the disciples of Jesus. He's mentioned more than Judas, who betrayed Jesus. Judas is mentioned 32 times. And you can find where Barabbas is mentioned in one way or another, called a murderer, a thief, or Barabbas, throughout the New Testament 38 times. We don't know if he ever met Jesus. We don't know if he ever had an encounter with Jesus. We don't know if they'd ever shook hands or he even ever sat in a church service. But we know that he'd heard of Jesus. He was called a zealot. He was called somebody that was trying to free Israel from Rome. He carried many different titles as you begin to look at him throughout the Bible, as you read, and it accuses him of three different things. It calls him a thief, calls him a terrorist, and it calls him a murderer. Even Paul in his writings refers to him as a murderer. He knew of Jesus. He had to have heard the stories of Jesus. They talked of a Messiah. The Messiah was going to come and deliver them from Rome. The Messiah was going to come and take away their pain, take away the oppression. And he'd heard the murmurs, I'm sure. He'd heard the talk that this was the Messiah, that this is the one that has come, that he all of his power and all of his might, the things that he'd done, that he raised Lazarus from the dead, that all of these people had walked, that were blind, that were lame, that people that were blind. And I imagine as he was a leader of this group, that he would send men out to scout out the terrain, to scout out the land, to see that if this was really the one, if this was what was the Messiah, if this is the one that we should connect ourselves to. And when they would come back, he would ask them, what did he do? Was there any battles? Were there any fights? Did he display power? Did he display might? And they would say, well, there was a leper and he healed him. That doesn't sound like the Messiah. That doesn't sound like exactly what I'm looking for. What else did he do? Well, there was a woman, there was a crowd. If we could just gather together this many people at one time, that we could run Rome right out of Israel. And they were on their way. They were headed to some man's house that his daughter was dying. And if we could just get that many people, if we could just get Jesus on our side. And well, what happened? Did he lead a revolt? No. A little lady, they said, that had been sick for 12 years, touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. There was a little girl that died, and all of a sudden she was brought back to life. Is there any stories of fights? Does he have any scars or wounds of being a warrior? Did you even hear of a barroom brawl where he got in a fight with somebody? And nothing. He speaks of peace. He speaks of joy. He speaks of deliverance. He speaks of healing. I imagine that at this moment in time, Barabbas had very little use for Jesus. That was not what he was looking for. The Bible doesn't say anything about Barabbas, except for what we've already mentioned, that he was a thief, that he was a terrorist, and that he was a murderer. Just that one moment in time that he's there and then he's gone. You look at the name Barabbas, the name that starts with the bar means son. Abbas in the Greek means of the father. His name literally meant the son of the father. Some theologians believe that he was actually the son of a rabbi because of his name, that he was actually a Levite, and that he grew up learning the ways and the things of the priest, that he grew up learning the things of God, living in the temple, working around the church, being a part of the church. But somewhere along the way, things begin to change in his life. I've seen a lot of young men with a call of God on their life as they still have a need to be involved, and they turn and they get involved in different kinds of helps. They're either a fireman or a police officer. They find ways to get involved in the community. They do things to help because they're not fulfilling their true calling. And so here he is. He must have had something inside of him that he felt the need to help, to be a part of something. But in this state of not living for God, in this state of trying to, it wasn't spiritual anymore, but it was a social thing that he was involved in, that it turned into more, that you can't just step into the world for a moment and expect to step out unscathed. You can't just be a part of that world and it not affect you, and things begin to change in Barabbas's life. I imagine if you asked this young man if he would ever murder someone in cold blood, that he would tell you no. What are you doing? I'm a part of something that is bigger. I've connected myself to something that we're going to liberate ourselves from Rome. But what path are you walking down, Barabbas? What decisions are you making? Somehow, some way, we find that he begins to resort to stealing things to make ends meet. When you're a criminal, you can't just go out and get a job. You can't just put your social security card down. And so he began to resort to other ways of supplying for his family as he began to steal. It wasn't just attacking Romans. It wasn't just justified wars or battles, because even God has justified wars in the Bible that he doesn't call them murderers. But something happened in Barabbas's life where literally he began to murder people. He began to take the lives of the innocent, not just people that he was at war with, but just people that he was fighting against, but people that he began to try to take their lives and murder people that were innocents. Matthew 27 and 16 calls him a noble prisoner, a notable prisoner. They knew who he was. Everyone knew who Barabbas was. He was famous throughout the land because of his exploits, because of what he was. Some try to make him out to be some kind of a Robin Hood, but he was no Robin Hood. He was a man that based his life upon putting terror in other people's lives. He claimed to have a good cause, but he was evil at heart, and he was an evil man. He was the chief of these thieves. He was the captain of these bandits. He was somebody that the Roman government was after. He was somebody that everyone was afraid of. That he was somebody that they were after, that there were posters on every wall. And when they captured him, when they captured this terrorist, when they captured this murderer, when they captured this man that was a thief, that there was no expected end but to be crucified. Today, if you get caught in a crime, you go to trial, and you hope, if you're innocent, that it comes out an innocent verdict. In this day and time, as you can see, as Jesus is taken into this kangaroo court, the decisions are pretty much made by whoever's making the decisions. There was no possibly innocent with Barabbas. There was no possibly you could have the wrong man. There was no possibly that this man does not deserve to die. This man had broken the laws. He had not only broken the laws of Rome, but he'd broken the laws of God. He had inadvertently, he'd made it a point. He had made up his mind that this is the life that he was going to live, and he could justify what he was doing because that he was a part of a bigger cause, per se. And he finds himself in this prison. He finds himself in a place where within the next few hours and the next few days, he's going to die. It's in Mark 15 and 7, it says, "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with that had made an insurrection with him, who had committed murder in this insurrection." He'd created a terrorist attack. That word insurrection means terrorism. And the multitude cried aloud and began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that they should rather release Barabbas unto them, this murderer, this thief, this man that could not be trusted, this man that was a terrorist, this man that said he had a good cause, but he was evil at heart, and his cause was not about good, but it was about his own selfish reasons. And they cried out again, "Crucify him. What shall we do to this king?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why, what evil hath he done?" And they cried out more exceedingly. That's what happens. We don't try to explain it. We just scream louder. We just make a bigger noise. They just scream, "Crucify him." There was no evidence. There was no proof. Let's just holler a little louder. Let's just make a little more noise. Then Pilate said unto them, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. So here's this man, Barabbas. He was guilty. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He was a liar. He was in a hopeless condition. The word of God says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." I'm told that in an incident where someone is to be crucified, when someone is to be executed, that it weighs heavily upon their mind. They can't help but think about it. They can't help but it dwell upon their mind that in the next few moments that their life is going to be taken from them. They've said that men that were going to be hanged would sit in their jail cell and they would sit there and they would literally rub their throats as they thought about what was going to happen next in the next few hours or days. Some men would even try to strengthen their necks to try to keep, to just have a few more seconds of life, that now life has become precious. You haven't been given one more day or one more year, one more decade, but now they're fighting for just one more second. Men that are going to the gas chambers practice holding their breath, that they can see if they can just hold their breath for one more moment in time to squeeze one more second, one more minute out of this life that has been taken from them. And so Barabbas sits in his prison cell and he thinks of what is about to happen. He thinks of what's going on in his life. He thinks of everything that he had done. He understands that there's no getting out of this situation. He understands that he is guilty. He fully understands that what he did out of selfish reasons. He understands that everything that is happening to him is happening because of the decisions that he had made. He could hear the cries from outside as they screamed, "Barabbas." And I imagine he wondered what this was all about. He heard the cries of outside as they screamed, "Crucify him." And I imagine he wondered what this was all about. He heard cries of men that said, "Free Barabbas." He heard cries of men that screamed, "Crucify him." He heard cries of men, "Give us Barabbas." He didn't know what was going on as he sat in that cell and he thought about what was going to happen. That cross that already had his name on it, that cross that was already evident, it had already been built. It was built just for him, this sinner, this murderer, this thief, this terrorist, this man with a murder charge upon his life, this man of terrorism upon his life, this man that there was no expected end but death. It was in World War II. There was a bomber jet that was making its way over Germany. As it began to climb high into the sky and begin to make its way in the B-17 Flying Fortress. Its bombing mission was over Germany towards the end of World War II, and as it made its way across Germany, it was hit with a shell. They knew they'd been hit, but they didn't understand why they hadn't been blown apart, and they found themselves in the midst of a flurry of gunfire, and they were hit multiple times as this plane was just riddled with shells. They evacuated as quick as they could. They couldn't understand why and how they'd gotten to the place that they were, how that they even survived, why the plane wasn't literally blown into pieces. There were holes all through the plane. There were pieces of the plane that were missing because of the shells that went through, but the plane managed to land. And as the mechanics begin to work their way through the plane, they begin to find these massive shells that were lodged in the plane that did not explode. They begin to pull these shells apart and trying to figure out why, as they found 11 of them that were lodged into this plane that were in this B-17 Flying Fortress that should have been blown out of the sky. And as they begin to pull through this, as they begin to look through these shells, they begin to find little letters that were written in Czech. They had them translated, and in those letters, the letters said, "This is all that I can do for now." A lot of us, if I can just make it through right now, if I can just get through now, if I can just make it one more day, if I can just make it one more month, if I can just show up one more Sunday, if I can just get through this sickness, if I can just make it through right now, if somebody or something could just help me right now, if it could get me through this situation and this problem, that I need something right now. I imagine as Barabbas sat in that prison cell, as he sat there, as the thought of, if I could just squeeze 10 more minutes out of life, if I could just have the opportunity to do right some of my wrongs, if somehow, some way that some things could be erased in my life, that something could be different, that if I could go back in time and change something, if I could make different decisions, then maybe things would be different. If they gave me a second chance, maybe I would be a different person. He hears the footsteps of soldiers coming down the hall. This wasn't the first time he'd heard this sound. The sound of a Roman soldier in full garb with all of his breastplate and helmet, carrying his spear with his sword as he made his way, as his armor clanked, as it made the noise, as he stepped, as his sandals stepped down the hallway. There came a multitude of soldiers. He knew that it was his moment in time. He'd heard the cries for Barabbas. He'd heard the cries that the crucified, heard all of the commotion, and it's his time. He'd heard the soldiers walk down the hallways before. He'd heard them as they'd made their way towards them. He'd heard all of the commotion. He'd heard men pulled from their prison cells as they begin to scream and holler. He's heard these men as in fear they cry out because they know what their expected end is about to be. And as that door opens up, and that soldier steps through that door as Barabbas braces himself for what is his expected end. He begins to rub his palms as he did before. He begins to feel that nail run through his feet. He begins to feel as he would gasp for air, as literally as someone that is crucified would suffocate to death, as all of their organs would begin to convulse, as all of a sudden they would begin to cramp and they couldn't breathe anymore, and they would thrust themselves up to get one more breath as they would sag down and hang there. Those nails were nailed through nerve endings as the pain would shoot through their body. It was excruciating. And he relived it. He thought it in his mind. What was about to happen? And that Roman soldier looks at Barabbas, a man that is guilty of murder. And he says, "You're free. You're free." How am I free? What about all of the evidence? What about everything that is held up against me? What about all of this stuff that everybody has seen? What about the family of that man that I murdered in cold blood? What about that community that I went in and I plundered and I stole everything that I could take? They saw my face. They know who I am. You're free. Barabbas is the only man in the Bible that Jesus physically stepped in and took his place. Some of their people in this room this morning that are looking for now. If I could just get through now, if I could just make now, if I could just... You don't understand why Jesus went to a cross. He didn't go to a cross just for a now moment, just to help you at what he went to a cross so that you could have life and life more abundantly. He went to a cross and he died, and that stone was rolled away as he was resurrected. Why? So that you could live in freedom and peace. So that everything that is held against you, everything that Satan says, look what they've done. Look at all the evidence. Look at everything that they've done. They deserve death, for the wages of sin are death. And Jesus says, but you don't understand. You're free. You're free. You're free. Because Romans 5 and 6 says it like this: "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than now being justified by his blood, ye shall be saved from wrath through him." They're about to sing a song that says, "How can it be?" As we all stand this morning, you come into this place on an Easter Sunday and you wonder, how can it be? How could it be that this Jesus would die for my sins? But the scripture says that while we were yet sinners, he commanded his love towards us. How could it be that this Jesus could love me this morning out of all of the mistakes, everything that I've done, all of my failures, all of my weakness? He says, "While you were yet a sinner, I died for you." Barabbas, today is your last day. I don't know what happened to Barabbas after that moment. I do know that there was a centurion that stood on the side of that hill, and he looked and he said, "Surely this is the Son of God." That event so impacted him that it changed him, that he got a revelation of who Jesus was. We don't know if Barabbas made his way and he looked from a distance as he watched as Jesus was crucified that day. You see, that day was different for him than it was for everybody else. I have a hard time believing that Barabbas walked away the same man that he was. But he watched this Jesus as he laid himself down as a sacrificial lamb. Without one word that ever came out of his mouth, he never cried that I'm innocent. He never said, this isn't my lot. He never cried out and asked angels to come down from heaven, but he laid there. And Barabbas sat there as he watched. It had to have impacted his life that somebody would take his place and stand in his place, hang on a cross that had his name on it, experience the execution that he was supposed to experience. And Jesus has done that for every person in this room today. Whatever weakness, whatever faults, whatever problems that you may have, this morning he wants to open the cell and say, because of what I've done, you're free. Because of what happened, you're free. Because of the blood that I shed, you are free. Because of the stripes that are upon my back, you are healed. Because of the cross and because of the power of the resurrection, that you can have life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now as they begin to sing, Lord, you see every person in this room. You see every hurt, every pain, and every problem. You see every person that has walked into this place today, oh God, and the enemy has said that you're finished. That there's an expected end, that because of the decisions that you've made, this is the way that it's going to be. Because of the fault, because of the things that you've allowed into your home and your family, that this is your end. This is the way that it's going to be. He's lied to you. He showed you pictures. You woke up in fear in the middle of the night of what your end is going to be, what your children are going to look like, what's going to happen in your marriage. God's saying this morning, if you let me, I'll free you. If you let me, I'll step into that prison cell and I'll break those chains off. If you let me, I'll pull that addiction away from you. I'll break those chains of addiction. If you let me, I'll love you through this. I'll heal your wounds. I'll heal your scars. I'll heal your problems. In Jesus' name. Let's all lift our hands this morning, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you today, oh God. How can it be? How can it be that any of us can be in this room today, oh God? How can it be that any of us can find your mercy?
Ashamed of what I've done.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
These hands are dirty.
Glory be to God. Let's begin together as a church family around these altars today. Lord, I come to celebrate what you've done in my life today, Jesus. Lord, because of the death, burial, and resurrection,
you plead my cause.
hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. How can it be? Let me tell you how it can be. It's just taking a moment and getting honest with Jesus. God, forgive me. Forgive me. Oh, forgive me. You see, you've got to understand that when you ask Jesus to forgive you in a moment of honesty, not just because everybody else is doing it, not just because the preacher said to, not just because it's what's going on at the moment, but out of your heart, there's something inside that says, God, I want to change. I've got to change. God, I'm sorry for what I've done. God, forgive me. It's at that moment that Jesus says, yes. Amen. It's at that moment the scripture says he takes your sins as far as the east is from the west. Yes. Not until next Friday when you've proved it. Not until a month from now when you've shown that you've made enough good decisions that you meant. No, in a moment of honesty this morning on an Easter Sunday, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. What was it that the Apostle Peter said to the crowd? He said, repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And what ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you want true freedom, repent. If you've never been baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, be baptized in his beautiful name. There's no other way that they were baptized anywhere in the Bible but in the name of Jesus Christ. And he says, you might, possibly. He says, no, you will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Devil, you're a liar. You leave this place today. If you've repented and you leave this place today and Satan says, oh, don't you remember that? Say, oh, devil, I'm free. Jesus stood in the place of a thief, of murder, and a terrorist. And he stood in your place also. You're free this morning in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Lord, we thank you right now. Lord, you see every person in this room. Lord, I pray that you would go with them this week, oh God. I pray a covering of your spirit on them right now. Lord, that they would feel your presence and your love everywhere they go this week. Lord, that when they would wake up, God, that your presence would be there. On their job, they would feel your presence, oh God. In their home, they would feel your presence. Lord, that you would watch over us, that you would draw us nigh unto you, oh God. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because of the weather, we're still going to have an Easter egg hunt. It's just been set up inside the fellowship hall this year. I think we had to do that last year also. And it just seems to be a good day for rain, I guess. And but we're going to have a great time next door in the fellowship hall. A lot of fun and Easter egg hunting. I want to thank all of our visitors for being here this morning. Thank you so very much for being with us today. We're honored to have you as our guest this morning. And remember next week, if you have not been attending church here for the last, if you just started within the last 2 years, or you would like to solidify some things in your life, next Sunday morning is our first Next Step class. You do not want to miss it. It's going to be in the Quake House. It's been repainted, remodeled, and redone, and you want to be a part of that. We're going to have a great time in learning about the Lord and Next Step next Sunday morning. Please sign up outside in the foyer. You have a wonderful, wonderful Easter this morning.